In the 1930s, there was a German Catholic philosopher and theologian by the name of Dietrich von Hildebrand, and he wrote a classic book called Transformation in Christ. In the years leading up to the Second World War, he was so vocal in his denunciation of the Nazis that his writings were deemed so antithetical to National Socialism that people who were found having copies of his book could be arrested and sent to the concentration camp. And in the crucible of this terrible time in German history, he cultivated and developed the teaching that he puts forward in this book. In some ways, we could say Hildebrand was to his generation what the Magi were in relation to King Herod. That is, that as the wise men were able to see clearly the person of Christ in the midst of a time of terror and such great fear, so too Hildebrand in his generation was able to articulate what it is to follow and to live for Christ in very difficult times. At the heart of his writing is this simple understanding, in a sense, that to be transformed by Christ means that we are to be as malleable as soft wax. Now think about it this way. If you were to take some wax and maybe put it onto an envelope that you then wanted to seal with a particular signet, that as you pressed the seal onto the wax would take the form of the seal. And this is what von Hildebrand says happens in our lives. Depending on what the focus and the center of our life is, that's the impression that will be left on our hearts. Think about this in relation to King Herod. Herod was a man who was terribly troubled. He was filled with fear. His life was governed by fear in everything he did. Indeed, he was so infamous for his violence that he had one of his wives killed. He had three of his sons murdered because his soul had impressed upon it fear, suspicion, the sense that everyone was out to get him and he was going to get them first. And on it went. A life governed by distrust, deceit, bitterness, and hate. There's a cautionary warning in this for us. For you see, if we harbor in our hearts unforgiveness towards others, if we harbor in our souls bitterness, resentment, anger, lust, distrust, and if we seek to domineer other people, then what happens to our soul? It becomes hardened and it becomes impressed with that particular orientation towards life. To be people, therefore, who are truly malleable, to be open to the Lord Jesus Christ, is to learn from the Magi. Contrast Herod's troubled spirit with their souls. We're told that they were filled with exceeding joy. This is the thing about joy. Joy takes us out of ourselves. And indeed, we could say one of the synonyms for joy would be the word to be ecstatic. And that's what the word ecstatic means, to be taken out of yourself. The thing with Herod was he was so self-consumed that he could see nothing other than himself. The Magi, in turn, were so filled with a sense of wonder and expectation and anticipation of the significance of the star and what it would mean that it impacted everything about how they lived. So let's think for a few minutes about three ways in which the Magi were filled with exceeding joy, how they were taken out of themselves. Well, first of all, we see in the Magi those men who adored Christ. Secondly, we will see that they desired to serve Christ. And thirdly, they lived for Christ. It's remarkable when you think about it that these men would have come all of the way from Persia. And they would have been men of great study and understanding. And it's interesting that when the Jewish people were in exile hundreds of years earlier, the sacred texts of the Hebrew scriptures would have been left in Persia. And no doubt these men studied these texts. And then remarkably, when they come to Bethlehem, and we need to be careful to think that Jesus is not here at this point necessarily a baby, that Mary and Saint Joseph and our Lord lived in Bethlehem for a while, because we're told that he is actually a little child in the text. But the remarkable thing is that these men of great erudition, these men of great study, when they come upon Jesus, a toddler at most, they adore him. They see him for who he truly is. And this is the first thing that we want to continue to discover. In a world like this, there are so many things that can distract us. There are so many things that can take us away from the true worship of God. And so I celebrate with you that you are here this morning, that you are here to adore the Christ child. And although we cannot see Jesus as they did in the manger, or in the home, I should say, we do see Jesus in the Eucharist. We understand that at the heart of our worship as Catholic Christians is the adoration that we give to Christ as we come in humility, as we come in love to receive him, body, blood, soul, and divinity, as we genuflect before the tabernacle with reverence, and how we understand that when we come into the church, there's a particular way that our hearts are orientated towards adoration. But not only do they adore Jesus, they also serve him by giving their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And what's so beautiful about this is that these men understand in a very intuitive way that Jesus Christ is the king, represented by the gold. He is the priest, represented by the frankincense. And he is the prophet, represented by the myrrh. What do I mean by this? Well, of course, gold is associated with those who are kings. And Jesus is the true king. In the psalm that we heard today, beautiful Psalm 72, it speaks about the messianic kingdom, a kingdom of justice, a kingdom of righteousness, a kingdom that looks out for the disadvantaged and the poor. And repeatedly, this is what we see with Jesus. He is this kind of king, and his church is always called to be this kind of church. When the church isn't like this, the tendency is that the church can become Herodian. And rather than living a life of true service, the church can become a place where those in leadership actually use that leadership in a way that dominate others, that is so uncharacteristic of Christ. He is also the true priest, represented by the frankincense. Within the Jewish temple, every evening, the priests would burn the frankincense. And part of this was in anticipation of the day when the Messiah would come. And so the offering of prayer, the offering of sacrifice, is what we see represented here as the frankincense is given to the Savior. And thirdly, he is given myrrh. This is representative of what is used to embalm a body after a person has died or been killed. And why was Jesus killed? Well, for many reasons, but one reason was because he was the true prophet. He was willing to speak the truth of God for God and with God. And he was willing to live in such a way that those who opposed him said, "We have to silence him." And they thought they had by killing him. But here we are 2,000 years later, hearing his message and continuing to proclaim his love. And so what we see with the Magi and what we are to see in our own lives is that we are to serve Christ by the offering of ourselves. And do you know that in your baptism, you were declared a king, a priest, and a prophet? That in your own way, you are to serve Jesus in his kingdom, in your vocations, whatever they may be. And in that way, we serve and share in his kingly ministry. By coming to Mass, you are participating in your priestly ministry, the offering of sacrifice, in your devotions and in your prayers, and in how you seek to live in terms of a life of prayer. And thirdly, you're called to be a prophet by how we seek to live our lives, by how we embody the fact that we are Catholic Christians in the words we speak, in the way that we live. To adore him, to serve him, and to live for him. And this is the last thing we see with the wise men, the Magi. We're told that they went home by a different road. There's something that happens in our lives when we come to a deepening relationship with Jesus. We're not the same anymore. We're being changed. And more we say, I want to live my life for Christ. Now, in a world like this, this is always challenging. This is always difficult. Because the influence and the voice of the Herods, the very nature of the world, is one whereby we can be weighed down. But when we have the kind of imagination, when we have a biblical view of the world like the Magi, then our hearts can be the kind of wax that has the impression of Jesus imprinted upon them, so that as we live our lives in 2022, we can discover with the Magi what it is to know great and exceeding joy.